Hello and welcome to episode 9 of the Talking Football Podcast. My name's Derek Clark, and each week I bring you an in-depth interview with some of the top figures of the game. Thank you for tuning in to the first 8 episodes. The feedback we've had so far has been absolutely terrific. Don't forget, if you've missed any, to make sure to check them out on Podbean, iTunes, SoundCloud, and also on Spotify. This week's guest is a true footballing legend in every sense of the word. He's played for two of the biggest clubs in British football, in Manchester United and Rangers, as well as winning the League Cup with Partick Thistle and starring for Scotland. His career is absolutely fascinating. It is, of course, the one and only Alex Forsyth. It was a real pleasure to listen to Alex's stories, and I hope you enjoy the next hour as much as I did. So sit back and enjoy this week's edition of the Talking Football Podcast. Welcome everyone to another edition of the Talking Football Podcast, and we've got a very special guest on this week, none other than a former Rangers, Manchester United in Scotland star, Alex Forsyth. Alex, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
No problem, it's good to be there.
Yeah, we've got loads to talk about, a tremendous career you had in the game, but we'll kick off all the way back to, you were born 1952 in Swinton, is that correct?
Swinton, just next to Glasgow. Yep, I was... born there, up at near the, I don't know if anybody, your readers will know, a lot of people got mixed up with Swinton and Manchester or Swinton and Glasgow, but it was Swinton and Glasgow I was born.
And what was life like growing up back then? Were you always playing with the ball growing up?
When we stayed in Swinton, one of my next door neighbours was a legendary, you maybe never heard of him, Tory Gillick.
Mm.
Going away back to maybe the 50s, a lot of maybe your older listeners maybe know Tory Gillick. He was my next door neighbour, and he sort of started me off at 3-4 year old playing with a can, and that was how we sort of kicked it off with a can. We never had a ball in the days, and that was us. Then we moved down into Bayliston, but it was he was one of my next door neighbours. The legendary Tory Gillick, Rangers man.
Yeah. And did you have any sort of role, was he a lot of sort of role model when you were growing up, or did you have any sort of players that you aspire to be like?
Role model, the sort of the Rangers players I loved to see was Alex Scott in the right wing, and Davy Wilson, wee blonde bomber for the Rangers in the left wing, and Ian McMillan and that. They were all fantastic Rangers players at that time, at that era, you know.
Yeah, did you manage to go along to Ibrox when you were a youngster?
No, we couldn't afford it. As I say, there was eight in my family, 4 boys and 4 girls, and we just couldn't afford to go to the football in them days, you know. We'd sort of, weren't they poor, but weren't they rich, but we couldn't afford to go to the football. I just played it mostly in the back garden and that when I was a kid.
Yeah, I mean, was it possible YMCA you played with?
When I was at school, the scout got a holidays and asked if I was interested in going up to Postal YM in Saracen in Glasgow. And I started training in there on a Monday night and a Thursday. And I played on a Saturday afternoon. And then actually, when I was 13, 14, I was actually getting paid. I got 10 shillings. I got paid on a Saturday, and we trained in the Postal on a Monday night. I had to get the bus for Bayliston into Buchanan Street, and a bus for Buchanan Street up to Saracen Cross, and then get the bus back again. And I usually always got a bag of chips at Buchanan Street. I got a half croon on a Monday and a Thursday. For a bag of chips and my bus fare home, and I got 10 bob and a Saturday for playing. But Postal were Arsenal's sort of nursery team, so
yep.
I went down to Arsenal just when I was 15.
I was going to say that must have been a sort of, you must have been like a fish out of water going all the way down there.
Well, as I say, I'd never been on sort of a plane, you know, or hardly ever been out of sort of Glasgow area, you know, and a scout said to me, he says, look, he took my mum and dad down to have a look around all the ground and all that. and I played for Postle and at Highbury just before the first team played. And I was only 14 then, and once I turned 15, the scouts says, well, we're wanting you to come down. So I only worked for 2 or 3 months, and I came home on a Friday night once, and the scout was sitting, Joe Hill, his name was, and he said, right, we're going to take you down. And I thought, oh, maybe next year or something like that.
Mm.
He says, no, we're taking you down on Monday. And this is a Friday. You know, and no preparations, or nothing, you know, hardly any clothes. I didn't even have a suit. I was just what I had. And I was away down there in a hotel and down in London, all the traffic and all the, all the people and everything. It was really mesmerised, you know. I was afraid to come out of my bedroom, you know. The lassie had to come up and say, you need to come down to get your dinner, you know.
Wow.
And, it was hardly seen a coloured person, and down in London there was every sort of race. It was unbelievable, you know.
And, I mean, were you down there yourself then, or did your mum and dad come down?
No, I was doing myself. I was doing myself. And a good friend of mine as well played with Postle, so wee Tosh Thompson. He was doing as well with a few Scottish older players. I knew George Graham.
Yeah, I was going to ask about him, yeah.
George was at the same school as I, but George was a lot older. So George was talking to us, and a couple of other Scottish lads, Jackie Carmichael, played with Arsenal as well, but they were a bit older, you know.
Yeah.
And they were pretty good with me, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say that. And I mean, going down to Highbury as well, it must have looked enormous as a youngster playing down there.
Yep, it was actually a fantastic club. They were one of the best clubs you'll ever see, and the way they looked after you. But with the Scottish law then, you couldn't, you had to have a job as well. You know, you couldn't sort of sign professional, you had to sign sort of amateurish contracts. And
yep.
But I had to train in the morning and get a job in the afternoon. So I left my digs maybe like 8:30 in the morning for training. And then after training, maybe at 1 o'clock, I went to Hyde Park Corner. And I worked in the MCA record company when I was 15. And I was just a sort of message boy, you know. Yeah, I was by law. I had to work for 2 to 6. And I met, like, say, Engelbert Humperdinck, Tom Jones and all that. But I didn't know. When I was only 15, I didn't really know who they were then. And Sammy Davis Jr. and all that.
No way.
Doing it to the London Palladium, going messages and all that down there. And I was down in the background and they were all rehearsing. And I hadn't a clue who they were, to be honest. You know.
That's crazy.
It was unbelievable. And I was fear to use the lift up to the floors because, you know, I didn't know how to work it right, you know, and it was always busy, and I didn't want to be on my own, so I just, every day I ran up the stairs all the time, so I was fit as a fiddle, and I was fit to use the lift, I just ran up the stairs, and they used to send you messages, I was running away doing London, and all that, you know, I wouldn't get a taxi, they were paying for the taxis and all that, but I just walked it and ran it, you know. And that was the start of it all.
Yeah.
Because Bertie Mee was the manager then.
Yeah.
Yeah, Arsenal.
Yeah, so, I mean, was it a year you were down there, is that right?
It was only a year, yep. Another good friend of mine as well was Ray Kennedy.
Yeah.
You remember Ray Kennedy?
Yeah.
He played with Arsenal when they played with Liverpool. And England, Charlie George, was in the same team as me. But they were the... They had all the good jobs, you know. And I remember Big Ray saying, Ray was a good friend of mine. And we were just talking about Ray Kennedy. And I said, where did you come from, Ray? He says, Port Vale. I said, well, what happened there? How did you become here? He said, well, Sir Stanley Matthews said I would never make the grade. I says, what? He says, Sir Stanley, he says, great player, but he says I'll never make the grade, and I let him go. And look what he turned out to be, an absolutely fantastic player.
Wow, dearie me.
You know, but it just shows you how players can get better as they get a bit older and all that, different things, you know.
Yeah, it's incredible. See, when you were let go there, was it, I mean, did you feel like, I guess you were gutted they let you go at the end of the year there?
Aye, of course, because I was sort of homesick, but I was gradually getting used to it. You know, I was getting into the swing of things and that, and he told me, Barry says, up for letting you go and that. So what happened then, I come back home and Joe Hill says, I'll get you a club and that, different things. And I waited 3 or 4 days and nothing happened. Then a week passed and it was actually my dad came in one day and he says, right, get your boots. I said, well, where are we going? He says, what you done? He went into Fir Hill and he chapped the door. And asked at the reception if he could see Scott Simon. And Scott Simon says, what is it? He says, what it is? He says, my young boy, he's just up for Arsenal there. And he's not been training. I just want him to get playing again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And to get him back into it. He says, I don't want him to lose his fitness. He's only up just over a week. And he let him go. And I think he's too good to go to junior or anything like that.
Yep.
So Scott Simon says, well, we've got a reserve game on the night doing at Dumbarton. And just bring him down there and we'll have a look at him.
Yep.
So we went down to Dumbarton. And number 10, I was playing sort of midfield, their left side midfield. And I played quite well. I came off. Scott Simon says at half-time, just come off, Alec. And I'll see, come in and see me tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
And I went in the morning and he had a contract ready for me. He said, you're really good and there's a contract for you if you want to sign it. So
wow.
That was me signed with Thistle. Scott Simon signed me then. I was only 16 then.
That's incredible. I mean, Scott Simon was a legendary manager as well. Were you in awe when you were in there signing that?
You know, as he was the top man. I mean, don't be wrong, Partick Thistle then had always used to have maybe ex-Rangers and ex-Celtic players. Because I remember Johnny Divers as well.
Yeah.
Billy Ritchie was there.
Yep.
I'll tell you another old one, George Niven.
Yes.
The goalkeeper.
Yep.
Was there and training with all them. But I remember one story, I was training up at Calder Cult with Thistle and I was fit as fiddle, could run no bother. And I was right through against Jordan Niven. I knocked it to the side of him and so I just walked it into the net. And he said to me, look, laddie, he says, we don't mind you scoring or anything like that, but don't take the mickey, you just don't do it again. I says, aye, all right, George, no problem. So, next minute again, people played away, next minute I threw again, knocked it to the side of him, and whack, he whacked me, right, oh, I was up there, and I landed on my back. He says, look, son, I told you, you know, you take the mickey to me. Just don't do it. I said, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I never done it again. You know, and that's the kind of character that was there. You know, and Billy Ritchie came as well. Johnny Divers. Thistle had some good old players then, you know.
Yeah, certainly. I guess they were hard on you as a young boy in Fir Hill.
Aye, in the days you had to look after your own kit, your boots. You had sort of a basket with all your training gear. You had to put it in the drying room, you know, and you'd only maybe have old boys to shoot at the goals and all that, you know. It was a fight to see who got, if you had a couple of good balls, it was always a fight to see who got the good boy to shoot in, you know.
Scott Simon, obviously, he left and David McParland took over.
That's right, David McParland took over, yep, and David's ended up, he started as in the first team in that. There's only one, just turning 17, 18.
Yeah.
Playing a couple of friendlies in at Chester and I scored. And but I was a midfield player then. I was never a fullback.
Yeah.
The time I said to play fullback, I was only about 18, I think, 17, 18. And we were playing Raith Rovers through Kirkcaldy.
Yeah.
And I was on the bench and the left back got injured. And David Palin says, like, are you going in? Just play left back, got him doing that line, you know.
Yeah.
I said, I no bother. I went on, last maybe 20, 25 minutes. Oh, and I was played great. And he came off at full time. He says, right, that's you. You're a left back. That's your position. I'm going to keep playing you. And that was me sort of stuck there all the time. That was it. You know, that's how I came a left back. Because I had two good feet, you know. I could kick.
Yep.
right hand. I was good with my left as I was with my right, you know.
And can you remember your debut there at Thistle?
I can't remember the first game. I remember playing a couple of friendlies against Chester and that, you know, and the score, but I can't really remember my first team game. I really don't.
I mean, when you were there as well, I think the big game that everyone will obviously remember is that League Cup final playing against Celtic.
That's right,
What was that like, Alex? Because, I mean, nobody would have gave you a chance going into that game.
No, the thing is, if you look after it, I mean, I think we had five or six internationalists then. We all got capped after that.
Yeah.
You know, you're Alan Duff, John Hansen, myself, Ronnie Glavin, Dennis McQuaid, Jimmy Bowen, Alan
good
Duff,
players.
You know. We all got capped, so they're all pretty good players. We had no fear, really, to be honest, for the cup final. We thought, okay, we're just going to go and enjoy it, and we were on a high into nothing, you know. Celtic had a right crank side.
Yeah.
I mean, what happened, we just sort of get the tactics sorted out. Like, say, Jimmy Johnson, he was our main man, so our tactics were get him a few dull ones early on, go from playing a wee bit, and eventually he got took out. We never tried to break his leg or anything like that. We just, you know, wanted to know we were there, you know, and he got and he hobbled off injured, wee Jimmy, you know. And the carry and that got them sort of tight knitted and all that, you know.
But, I mean, to go up 4-0 at half-time, you must... What was the dressing room like at half-time? You must be thinking, what's going on here?
Well, we couldn't believe it. We know we scored the first one. We think, that's a good start for us. And a wee while later, we scored another one. We're like, this is going really good here. And the third one, we're like, dear, we're really going here, you know. And then once the fourth one, and I said, we're not going to beat here. So 4-0 we're in, we're cruising. And we said, they're going to come at us. We just need to try and hold on here and play it safe. And they had a few chances. They scored. I think Douglas scored, and they had a couple of good chances. And if they scored another one, they might have, you know, they might have came back in it. But we had another few chances after that, and we ran away with the game in the end, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, we played really well. We had no fears. We were all sort of, you know, worried a wee bit of what's happening here, you know, but we just couldn't believe it because they were young and that, and we had no fears.
Well, you were only...
The players were more nervous than the young players, you know.
Yeah, you were only about 19 back then, was
19,
that?
19, aye.
So, I mean, must have been unreal winning there at Hampden. There must have been about 100,000 people there or whatever.
Aye. Okay, just to say, when you're young, the crowd, you don't get, you can't take all that in. You're just concentrating the game, to be honest, you know, and how you're playing and all that. You don't really, you hear the crowd and all that.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, when we went 4-0 up, a lot of Rangers fans came in. You know, I don't know where they were playing at Motherwell or something like that. You got a lot of Rangers fans coming in. And at the end, everybody clapped, you know, because even the Celtic supporters, because they couldn't believe it either. Because Celtic are a top quality side, and there's a lot of crank players.
Yeah, you also won that. You get promoted that season as well, so it was a decent season for you, wasn't it?
Well, it was a good season. As I say, we could match your Aberdeens and all that, Hearts and Hibs and all that. We could beat them home and away. They could beat us as well, like, you know, but we did well, you know.
Yep.
I'm not saying we were a wee bit up and down, you know, with good results, saying we got a couple of duffers, you know.
Yeah.
So we could give anybody a game, to be honest.
I mean, that was a great season for you on a personal level as well. Was it called up to Scotland as well? And was it June?
I went for the Mini World Cup in Brazil.
Yeah.
And I played against Rivellino.
Wow.
Jairzinho was on the right wing. I think Willie Donaghy was there. I played right back against Rivellino. And we beat us 1-0. Jairzinho scored with a flying header, but we played absolutely brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the world champions then. And I think there was about 130,000 in the Maracana then.
Wow.
You know, it was fantastic. You know, if you go for Thistle and then you're going in... the world champions, you know. It's especially Rivellino. Rivellino is, I would say, the best left wing in the world then.
Yeah.
He's absolutely fantastic player, so he was.
I mean, that's telling the grandkids stuff, that, isn't it? Playing in the Maracanã and playing against Brazil when they were at their pomp.
Aye, it was fantastic. You know, you try and take it in and you're around Brazil and all that, and it was the heat and all that, you know.
Okay, yeah.
It was maybe later on, 9 or 10 o'clock at the kick-off, but it was really roasting, and the dressing rooms had all these dressing tables all with oxygen masks and all that.
Wow.
You know, because of the heat and all that, you know, but we took it in our side, you know. It was absolutely great.
And I mean, being 20 and being involved in that Scotland setup, what was that? What was that like with some of the characters in that dressing room? Because some superstars there.
Okay, you have Bremner's, Dennis Law.
Wow.
And all that. They were all there, you know. And they were all characters and all heads at the game, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They were the senior pros.
Yeah.
Lorimer, Leeds. I mean, Leeds had a fantastic Scottish players with David Harvey, Peter Lorimer, Billy Bremner and all that. You know, they're fantastic. And Man United, don't worry, no, wasn't there a lot of Scottish players in the Man United? Your big Jim Holton. I mean, your back four at Man United was myself, Jim Holton, Martin Buchan and Stuart Houston. And you had wee Lou McCarry, Willie Morgan, Jim McAleog.
Yep.
And who's the other one? Ted McDougall actually played for Scotland as well.
Remember a wash with Scots. Yeah. What? They were filled with Scottish players back then.
I think at one time there were 8 in the first team, 2 Irish boys, and 1 English man was the goalkeeper. Alex Stepney was the only English man in it.
Yeah.
And nowadays you're struggling to find a out with maybe the boy McTominay. I don't think there is anybody else Scottish.
No. No, you're struggling.
Don't wrong, that was the Doc brought us all in, you know.
I was going to ask you about that. What was it like playing under Tommy Docherty?
Tommy, he was brilliant, you know. He signed me, Lou McCarry for Celtic and Big George Graham for Arsenal. I think in the 1 or 2 weeks, and we all sort of came together. And Tommy was absolutely brilliant. And he was just an all-out attacking manager, you know.
Yeah.
He just went to everywhere he went. We broke all the records for the crowds, and I was just attack. You had Stevie Coppell on the right and Gordon Hill on the left, two fantastic wingers, and you had Stuart Pearson in the middle, Sammy McElroy, Wheeler McCarry buzzing about, and you weren't afraid for anybody, you know.
How did the Man United move come about? Obviously Tommy Dock was at Scotland as well at the time. Is that how it all happened?
Aye. Well, I went out to training every week, and it was a Thursday morning, at about 9 o'clock, and the kit man says, "Alec, the bosses want to see you, Dave McParland's want to see you." I said, "Well, what is that about?" He said, "I don't know." I had my training gear on, and I says, up to the office. I says, "What is it?" He says, "I've got a wee bit of news for you." I says, "What?" He says, we're going to sell you." I said, "Oh, fair enough, no problem." I says, "Who is it?" He says, "Man United." I says, "You're kidding." He says, "No, it's Man United are in for you." Because there's a lot of talk, maybe Newcastle or that, you know.
Yep.
And but he says, "Go and get your gear on." I says, "I've no go. I've only got my jeans and that one, you know." He says, "20 days, I'll run you down." And I don't know if you remember a reporter called Jim Rogers.
Right, okay, yeah.
For the Daily Express, was
uh-huh.
it? He was a sort of boxer, but he was a reporter.
Yep.
He says, "I'll run you down, Jim Rogers, and you can sit in the back." I says, "Well," I says, "how am I going to get any clays?" He says, "We'll drop into your race." So I was telling my mum and dad and all that. So my mum was at her work. She worked at the school across the road. So my dad used to work at Mount Vernon Dog Track, you know. He sort of sorted the track and all that. So in the car park, I says, "I know for a wee minute." My dad was in the ground and all that, you know, cutting the grass or something. He says, "What are you doing here?" I says, "I'm going away." He says, "Where are you going to?" I says, "I'm going to go up the road." He says, "What for?" I says, "I need to get my toothpaste and a toothbrush." He says, "What for?"
I says, I'm going away, I'm getting transferred. Ah, right. He says, where are you going to? I says, I'm going down to Manchester. He says, who's doing there? I says, Man United. He says, you're kidding. I says, no. He says, you better go up the house. I says, I'm not the inn. I'm not the house. And I'm in this back of this motor with Dave McBarland and Jim Rogers. I'm heading down to Manchester to sign with them. So he's in the house. I had me a suit of it. Nah, you know, just grabbed another pair of trousers and that was me a wee doing there. And we had to sign for before 5 o'clock or something because of the game on the Saturday and you couldn't play.
Yeah.
So he signed about 4:45 or something doing it. Buying the film at one of these big restaurant and filling stations outside Manchester.
Yep.
And I signed on there and that was it.
Wow, and see with them having so many Scottish players there, did that sort of help you settle in down there?
Aye, oh, I knew a good pal of mine was Willie Donaghy, played by Manchester City.
Yep.
I stayed with Willie for a few days. He was a good friend of mine, and he put us up a wee well. But staying in the hotel and that, obviously, you know, in Piccadilly, you know, but
yeah.
Willie was a good pal of mine and good friends with him for a while.
And again, I mean, you're only 20 when you're signing for them, so I mean, it's this. You've done a lot in your career already. By the age of 20, and you're signing for Man United, so.
Aye, it was. And went to the training, and what it was, it was winter, it was December 72, and it was, the weather was really bad, it was snowing and frost.
Yep.
And I signed on the Thursday, just before the deadline, and the game on the Saturday was put off, and the Friday I was all frozen over. So I remember we were in the hotel and me and Lou McCarry, George Graham, and he said, oh, where do we want to go? Friday night, finished training, we were in the game, that was just after Monday. I said, come on, we'll go for a pint and that, you know, and doing in George Best Club.
Yeah.
And they were doing a pub, but well, I can't remember the name of the pub, and George Best was standing in the corner. We got all these lassies, I see all these women, they're absolutely gorgeous birds. And Barman says, there's George over there. And he came over and introduced himself and all that, you know, and we had a talk to him and a wee couple of beers with him. So it was that was us starting my way then, you know.
What was George like then? Because he was sort of on the way down, wasn't he, when you were there?
And the way out, it was, I think it was merely Sir Matt Busby to got George back again, you know.
Yeah.
But George would turn up and train, and the next day he wouldn't be there, and he'd play a couple of games, and you wouldn't see him again, you know.
Yeah.
So obviously he had no respect for the manager, obviously, and he just wanted to do his own thing. And you know, it was hard for Tommy Docker to get rid of all these sort of superstars, you know,
yep.
Your Dennis Lowe's, your Bobby Charlton's. And George Best, it's, if you're taking over as manager, and all of a sudden you've got to say to them, look, I want ready, you know, you're too old now, you know.
Aye, it's
a hard job he had there to say to all of them, they're all sort of finished here at Man United, the first team, you know.
Yeah, certainly. You mentioned there Bobby Charlton, he's obviously, the guy's an icon down there. What was it like spending time with him?
Bobby was always quiet, you know, he's a superstar, you know, and these were all the superstars, you know, you just sort of try to take in. I played a few games with him, and he's a fantastic player, he had two great feet, and he was just, these are all superstars, and
yeah.
They're just getting to the end of their careers, well, at United, you know.
Yeah, Old Trafford, playing at Old Trafford, Alec, I mean, what was that like?
Oh, that was fantastic, the crowd, the Stretford end was absolutely out of this world, and they go behind the team. The rest of Man United daft, you know. They just,
yeah.
They're absolutely full house everywhere you went. The games were all packed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you couldn't believe the amount of support we had. Every game we went to, it was like a home game. Away games were like a home game, you know. It was just all United fans.
Yep. And I mean, your debut was it against Arsenal? Is that right?
I think it was Arsenal. Aye, they were playing great. They were playing great. I think we beat 3-1 or something like that.
Yep.
Aye, they were a good side in Arsenal. They were one of the top teams, Liverpool. They were all good sides, you know. We were sort of a fairly youngish team, you know.
Yeah.
And they're just sort of learning the ropes. And we went to the cup final. We could beat Southampton, which was a bit of a downer.
I was going to say that. Yeah, watched the highlights of that game, and you lost 1-0, is that right?
That's right. You know, we were hot favourites, but we didn't really create a lot of chances. You know, wasn't it the best of games? You know, we didn't play to our best because we thought we'd have beat them, to be honest. You know, but fair duty, Southampton. You know, you've got to score the goals on the day, and they deserved it. You know, so
yeah.
If we didn't play up to our capabilities then that day.
What was it like playing at Wembley?
It was absolutely brilliant. You know, you've got all that crowd there, and it's hard to take it all in. You're trying to take it all in and try and concentrate in the game. You know, it's just out of this world. These are the games you want to play in and all that, but it's hard to take it on when you're quite young yet, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you played in that game with the club. I mean, it's hard for younger listeners, if they're listening, to think that Man United get relegated one season, but it did happen. And Dennis Law, of all people, scored that back heel goal. What was it like being in the pitch when that happened?
I know, I was standing actually right next to him. I was the number. You see, when I see that game again, I was number two. I was just standing half him, and the ball came into the goal area, and it was one of them. He's back to the goals, and he just backheeled it as if to say, somebody will pick that up or kick it away, and the goalkeeper will pick it up, and everybody's looking about it. And next minute, I end up in the back of the net, and he just sort of walked off. Then, you know, and we were relegated anyway. You know, we were going to go down anyway, so. The result was irrelevant, you know, but I think he just big sight that it was him that scored the goal.
Yeah.
You know, but it didn't matter if we'd have won the game. We were still going down anyway.
Yeah. How good was Dennis Law then playing with a guy like that? How good was he?
He was absolutely brilliant. You know, he could hold the ball up, great in the air, and he's just his character. You know, he's in the box, he was deadly. You know, he's absolutely fantastic player. Different sort of player, maybe outside the box, but in the box he was razor sharp.
Yeah.
And he's great in the air. Yeah. Yeah. Standing the head in the ball and all that. He's absolutely different class.
Yeah. I was reading Jim Holton's book recently, Alex, as well. It's quite a good reading. I mean, what was he like in that United defence? He seemed like a fully committed, full-blooded sort of player.
Well, as I say, Jim was just everything in the air was Jim's. At the tackling, Jim was great at. You know, maybe not the most skillful player in the world, but what he was good at is what everybody's looking for now is a good old-fashioned centre-half.
Yep.
In the air, it's mine. They're down below, it's mine. And just pass it to the nearest red shirt. And that's what Jim is all about. You know, the hardest position now, Phil now, is the central defence now. They're hard to come by.
Yep.
A good old-fashioned centre-half. They're all wanting to play their football and do all their wee tricks, whereas in their days, it was just in the air, win the ball and win your tackles and feed it to the rest of your midfield players or whatever, you know?
Yep. But if you look at Man United today, what sort of, I mean, they're going through a bit of a rough patch now, aren't they? What do you make of them?
They're up and doing, you know. They've got the players there that have... Solskjaer can just get them all together. You know, the good news is that the goalkeeper signed a long-term contract. He's a fantastic goalkeeper.
Yep.
So maybe he'll settle down and they maybe settle down again. They've maybe got a wee problem with Pogba, whether they should have sold him or maybe get rid of him. And maybe, I don't know, he's a good player, great player, but whether he's knitting into the team's another thing. And Rashford's, they've got some fantastic players.
Yeah.
They're struggling, maybe, I think, at the left-back position. You know, they've got the wee Bissaka, the wee boy, the right-back.
Yep.
Looks as though he'll fit in fine. And Maguire looks as though maybe he's going to be really good as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it just gives him a wee bit of time. You know, he's transforming. He's bringing in some young boys now.
Yeah.
Just maybe the left-back position is maybe they're no... 100% certain on, I think, yet.
Yeah. See, when you were at Thistle, you didn't play against Alex Ferguson, did you?
No, I did. I played. Fergie played with Falkirk.
Yep.
In fact, I had a programme, so I think I've still got it up in the house here. It's up the stairs somewhere. It's he was playing with Falkirk. I can't remember, actually. Nobody, he's one of the players he never stuck out a mile, you
no.
know. He
no.
was a centre forward. We played Falkirk, and his name's on the Falkirk lineup.
Yep.
You know, but he's a player I can't remember, actually, playing against, you know.
It's just amazing how these players, you know what I mean, go on and they have the careers they have, isn't it? It's just, you would never sort of imagine it back in the day. I was going to ask you, the Rangers move, when you went up there, how did all that come about?
Well, when Dave Sexton took over, he called me in, he only no longer there, and he called me in, he says, Ali, look, you've been here 5 years or something, do you? You're not going to be in my plans anymore, you know. I said, that's no problem. He says, I'll move you on. He says, where do you want to go? I said, I don't mind going anywhere. And he says, where do you want to go? I says, I'll go anywhere. He says, you want to go back to Scotland? I says, well, I don't mind. You know, he says, you're right. He says, well, days I'll phone Billy McNeil at Celtic. And he phoned go to the secretary phone Parkhead, and they were away on a tour somewhere up north.
Yeah.
He says, I'll not be back to next week of that. He says, what are they? I'll phone John Gregg at Ibrox. And he phoned Greggy and that. He says, blah, blah, blah. He says, Alex, we're going to get rid of him and that. And so they get interested. So he says, I send him up. So I'm up there. And I was a year's loan deal first.
Yeah.
You know, and after that, I signed for another 2 years. So basically, that was it, you know.
What was that? I mean, you must have been delighted to sign for, to go up and sign for Rangers.
Oh, I signed the Rangers then. He had a lot of fantastic players at Rangers then. Big Tam Forsyth, Big yep. McCloy, Derek Johnson, Derek Parlane, Alec McDonald was a great player. Wee Tommy McLean,
yep.
Winger, and Coop. David Cooper came as well, so and Bobby Russell in the middle of the park as well. We had a smashing side, Colin Jackson and all that, you know. We had a good side with some good results in Europe, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I mean, I think the notable ones is obviously the win over Juventus, and then the famous 3-2 win in Eindhoven against PSV. How big a game was that to play in?
They were big, massive games, you know. We weren't doing great in the league or anything like that. You know, we're playing all right, you know, but there's some great results in Europe. And again, with John Gregg as a manager, it was one of these situations where you're the manager now, he got the job as a manager, and if he's been playing with like, say, Alan McDonald, Sandy Jarden,
yeah.
and all these players, and you've been pallying him for years and years, and all of a sudden say, look, the pals will need to stop, you're the manager, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to build your team yourself. And there were a few fallouts with some of the players in that day. And it was a hard one. Maybe they should have said, look, we go for somewhere else maybe for a year or two and come back in
mm-hmm.
and give somebody the job to get rid of the older ones, you know?
Yeah.
It was a hard job for them then, you know?
Yeah. What was it like sharing the dressing room with some? You mentioned some of the players there. I mean, there's some big characters in there, and obviously John Gregg's there as well. So, walking into Ibrox as well, being a supporter and all that, it must have been like a dream for you.
Oh, they were great characters, and Jim Denny was one of the funniest guys you'll ever meet in your life. And Gregor Stevens came as well. Remember Gregor Stevens?
Yeah.
Oh, he's mental. I mean, if he was playing now, he'd get sent off every game. He was a hatchet man. I mean, and one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. But, oh, tackling, the sight he doing with the right foot and then he come in with your left. Oh, unbelievable tackler he was.
Mm.
And Billy Urquhart as well, the other characters. And we had loads and loads of characters then, you know, they're all smashing guys, you know, and some of them are great football players.
Yeah. See the European run when you beat Juventus and PSV, do you feel that, I mean, beating those two teams, but then you lost to Cologne in the next round, was there a feeling of disappointment that you could have went all the way that year?
Well, we just took each game as it comes, you know. We thought we were going to go right through, and I think it was Valencia as well, Poo's was the other one.
Yeah.
I remember playing against, what do you call that, Mario Kempes.
Wow, he was a player.
He was a player and a half, you know, and I remember Greg, we were doing the team talk. Greg was spot on with his team talk, he was brilliant. He got pictures of everybody who you're playing against. I remember, I think it was Kenny Watson that was playing that night at Ibrox, and he was supposed to be picking up, and we're talking away at the team talk. John Gregg says, look, keep him on, he's sort of right fit. He's not very good with his right fit, and he should be all right. He scored two of the goals and two of them with a right fit. One for about 30 yards and the other about 20 yards. You know, what a player that boy was.
He was fantastic for Argentina as well, wasn't he? Won the World Cup with him.
He was a different class, the boy.
Yeah.
They were the top class sides, them, you know what I mean? The Valencia and all that.
Yeah.
I mean, this is it. You mean, look at the teams now that they're struggling to beat now, but football has changed a lot, you know. They're no duff teams now, to be honest.
No.
There is duff teams, but the Rangers play the teams that are not the teams now are not as good as what they were then, you know.
Yeah. What was it like playing in Old Firm games? I know you scored a penalty in one of them. What was that like?
The two left back, Sandy Lynch and I scored. That was a wee bit nerve-wracking because everybody was too keen on hitting it. I said, oh, give me the ball and I'll hit it, you know. Nerves like that never really bothered me, to be honest.
Yep.
But they were great games because after part, you know, you could meet them and have a beer with them and that and no problems whatsoever. Players generally get on together. You know, it's just some of the supporters that are just mental.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you'll never ever change that. You know, in general, everybody likes to meet one another. Of course they do, but at the end of it, it's just we're the better team this day and we'll get his back the next time and that, you know.
Aye, yeah. What was it like in the build up to these games as well? Was it just, could you just concentrate like it's a normal game, or was it?
Well, it was always a hype.
Yeah.
You know, when you go to an Old Firm game, you automatically put on 2 or 3 yards. You're faster, you know, because the crowds are so enticing you on, and every tackle is your full commitment, you know. It's a crash, bang, wallop, you know.
Mm.
And sometimes the skill goes out the window. It's just a battle, you know, and before you know it, the game's over with, you know.
Yep.
But you automatically put on, your pace goes up tenfold, you know. You're never tired or anything like that. You just, you know, it's because the crowd are cheering you on and, and that, and you get all built up with the hype.
And of course, Ibrox has changed a lot over the years, but I mean, playing back then when it was when you played at the old terrace and all that sort of thing, what was that like?
That was great, you know, we had the running track running it.
Yep.
And I think that's why we played the Old Firm again at Hampden, because I think Ibrox was getting done up then.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and we could train on it. But the changes in the game now, the pitches now are absolutely fantastic.
Bowling greens, aren't they?
In the days, even at Old Trafford, it was a bit of a coop. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's all sand, and the sun would get half of it, so they'd throw sand on it, and it was terrible, whereas and the reserves would play on it, and sometimes you get maybe youth team games on you. But nowadays, the first team's all allowed on it every time they play a home game. You know, they're not allowed, they're nobody else allowed on the pitch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even your warm-up, you know, the goals are moved away into the corner. You know, you're not allowed to sort of warm up in the goal areas now. You know, they're bowling greens, every one of them.
Ah, they certainly are. They're certainly changed days, that's for sure.
I mean, you see, when you pass a ball now, it's like a bowling green. It's the boys, don't get me wrong, I don't think they've changed in weight, but they seem to be dead lighter. And it's just because of the conditions are a lot better.
Ah, they'll be like flyaways compared to what you were used to back then.
In the days, everywhere you went is divot marks, you know, it's big holes in the ground and all that. You know, if it hit a divot, that was you. You looked a fool and you missed the ball, you know. It hit a big dud of muck and it was a shock. You know, it was shocking, some of the pitches.
You mentioned that penalty you scored in Old Firm. You scored a few penalties. Was that something you sort of practised? Or do you find you're good at it?
It's just because I was a good striker in the ball. You know, I started
taking them, and I was never really any bothered with them, you know. It's, and I like to have a shot at goals, you know.
Yep.
That's why the reason why Big Jim Houghton, when he broke his leg in his comeback, we were warming up. I can't remember who we were playing. It was a, I think it was Ajax in a friendly or something. And this is his first game back, and we were warming up, and I used to love kicking the ball really hard at the goals.
Mm.
You know, if you're maybe 20, 30 yards out, and Big Jim is jogging across the 18-yard line, and I whacked it, and it hopped on the side of the head, and looked to him, and he carried off in the stretcher during the warm-up. He was, oh, he's cracking up, he's calling me everything, so he was. I mean, how can you get carried off in the warm-up? He's off for another 6 or 8 weeks again after that.
Me.
You know, after he's coming back with his broken leg. He wasn't too happy, especially he's lying in the stretcher with the teeth all out, you know that, you know. It was a bro sight, I'll tell you.
I can imagine.
That killed me. You know, it's so funny. It wasn't funny for him, it was absolutely...
I can laugh about it now.
Part, you know?
Yeah, I can laugh about it now. But Rangers won the treble, 78-79. How good was that team that you were involved in? What was special about that season?
As I say, Rangers had a lot of talented players. One of the finest wee football players in the ball was Bobby Russell.
Yeah.
Bobby Russell was a lovely football player.
They got him from junior football, didn't they?
Aye. He got Shelson, I think. Yep. He played. I knew his dad, and that. His dad used to come to the games, and he used to blare away and that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But Bobby was a smashing football player. And Alan McDonald, I remember when my debut at Ibrox, I came in, we were playing that Intertoto Cup or something like that. We played Southampton, and we beat them 4-0, and I scored. And after the game, just at the front of Ibrox here, I was talking to Laurie McMenemy, who was still manager of Southampton. I says, "How are you doing?" He says, "I'm fine." He's played well in there. I says, "Aye, we're just getting all together and all that." He says, "I'm really interested in that wee midfield player you've got."
Mm.
I says, "Who's that?" He says, "Alan McDonald." I says, "Oh, he's an absolutely fantastic wee player." And he says, "Oh, maybe seeing an interest in him." But nothing ever came out of it. I don't know if Rangers knocked it back or no.
Mm.
But I knew Laurie McMenemy was a big fan of him. Fanny has, he's a fantastic wee player, Alec.
Yeah.
He's a die hard and he ran all day and he's a grafter, you know, and he's a good wee football player.
Yeah.
He's a very intelligent football player, you know.
Yeah, he certainly was. He scored a few good cracking goals as well, didn't he?
Aye, and he's all heart, you know.
Yeah.
I'm surprised the bigger teams maybe picked him. Maybe because of his size, maybe.
Hmm.
Doing in England and all that, didn't they maybe fancy him? But I know Laurie McMenemy. Was really keen on him for him to go down there, but I don't know if anything ever came out yet.
Mm. But when the time came, you left Rangers in 82. Were you disappointed to leave?
Aye, I was just getting old, you know, 30 year old, and these people thought I was a lot older and all that. When you were 27, 28, now you're by your best, everybody thought, you know.
Mm.
You know, like nowadays where you're still playing at 30 odds, you know, you're still playing well. But what happened, Greggy says, "I'm going to let you go at the end of the season." I said, "That's fine." And Bill McMurdo phoned me up. Bill McMurdo.
Yeah, the agent, yeah.
The agent for Eddington. He says, "Alec, what are you doing?" This is about 4 or 5 months before the end of the season. I says, I'll get in a free, hopefully. He says, what is it anyway? He says, "Well, don't tell anybody," he says, "but Big Joke's coming back to Motherwell. He's going to go back into Ibrox, but
mm-hmm.
he's coming back to Motherwell for a wee while, a year or two, and then he's going to go back into Ibrox. He's interested in a wee bit of experience at the back." I says, "I ain't no bother." So it was in the paper that, he's coming, he's no coming for Leicester, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was all a big hullabaloo. And I phoned Bill, I says, "He's no coming," he said. Alec, he says, "Don't worry about it." He said, "He's coming back. Just don't worry about what the papers are saying."
Mm.
And he phoned us up, and I went up there and signed, and he's up there at Motherwell for a year.
What was Jock Wallace like as a manager?
Great, he's a great manager. Big Joke was when he's on his guys. If you train well and done what you're telling, look after yourself, he was a good player's man, you know.
Yep.
But don't ever cross him, you know. He would have a go at you, you know, he'd do you in. You know? Because some players at Motherwood, I remember one instance was Brian McClare played with Motherwood then. Remember,
yes.
Brian McClare?
Yeah.
Aye. Brian was a bit sort of university boy, sort of casual guy, and came in one day for training. So we're sitting, talking away, and big joke comes in. Like, this is what we're doing. Brian's sitting there with a big crucifix hanging down the neck, you know. Big joke says, what's that you've got around your neck there? You got a sore neck? He says, no, boss, that's my crucifix right there. He says, oh, he wasn't too happy. So, but Brian's a smashing player, and long after that, they sent him down to, I think, sent him to Celtic, didn't they?
Went to Celtic, then Man United, didn't he?
Celtic, then down to Man United, aye.
Yeah.
Got a good bit of money from him, but Brian was a smashing player. And nice fella, you know.
Yeah, he was a cracking
player. But he used to wind Big Joe Cop sitting there with a crucifix, you know. Big Joe kind of strangled him, you know. but he was a good player, the boy.
Yeah, and you had 3 years at Aki's as well. Did you enjoy those?
Wee Bertie Old.
Yes, of course.
Wee Bertie signed me. And I said, I ain't bothered about it. I'll play in the last couple of years. And he sent me in. John Lambie took care of Bertie.
Wow,
you know?
He was a character.
Oh, so was Wee Bertie. Wee Bertie was crazy, you know. He just always loved to like playing the wee five-a-side games and all that, you know, with the players. You know, he could. But he did well there as well.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if he went back to Thistle or anything like that after that. Because he had a pub round the corner as well, in Hamilton as well. He had a pub in Hamilton as well. But in Lambie was a character.
Yeah, he certainly was.
He was a smashing fella.
So see, when the time came when you had to retire, were you disappointed to hang your boots up, Alec, or did you feel that the time was up?
Definitely, you know, but I mean, you're only, when you go into part-time, you know, it was working full-time then, you know, it's, you're only training a Monday and a Thursday and playing the Saturday, and I was, 33, 34 then, you know.
Yep.
And we had some good players at Aki's, Big John McNaught, you remember Big John McNaught?
Yeah.
And wee Pelosi, and the big centre-half, Shuggy Edfoldson and that. And Brian McLaughlin, who's at Celtic as well, broke his leg and he came to Aki's and all that.
Yep.
And the wee centre forward for Airdrie, what's his name? Wee Bondy Heated Boy. He broke his leg early on as well. He's a smashing wee player. There's some good players at Aki's.
John Brown was there at the time as well, wasn't
he? John Brown, Bomber was there. I remember, when he played with us, Big Joke was at Ibrox then. They had a good chance to sign John Brown. They could have got John Brown for about £30,000, and they end up paying, the Rangers paying, end up
a lot more.
£250,000 or something, more than that.
Yep, for Dundee, isn't they got him?
Aye, Dundee went to, and I think Dundee got a lot of money too, obviously, but Rangers could have got him for about £30,000 and they hummed and hawed.
Yeah.
The same as the other one, who was a smashing player. In that league then was Gordon Jury, played with his wife.
Ah, right enough, yeah, he went down to Spurs, didn't he?
Gordon
Jury
was, we played his wife at Aki's, and they beat us, it was 4-1 or 4-2, and he scored them all. Gordon Jury, absolutely brilliant, pace and everything, and then he went for a lot of money. He was a smashing player.
Yeah.
You know, sprung out for never.
A great engine, him.
Huh?
He had a great engine on him. He could run for days, Gordon Jury.
Two good feet. Yep, he was. He scored the four of the goals. Couldn't believe it. He had a great game that day.
Yeah. And when you decided to retire, did you think about going into the coaching side of things, or were you not really that bothered?
I think he coached the boys at Fir Hill with Partick Thistle. Lambie says he was interested in there for a couple of years, but it took up too much of my time, you know. And a Monday night and a Thursday, and you were away all day on a Saturday. You know, it was just a hundred enough time. And I can't do it, it's too much.
Yeah.
Plus the fact we were all cutting back, we weren't. We played in a tournament in Wales with them, the under 18s, and we won that. We beat Liverpool 3-0 in the final, and it was late. And who's the left winger? Stevie Highway in charge of them. And I said to Stevie Highway, Stevie, I remember playing against you. He said, oh, aye, that's fine. And he says after the game, he's beat his old fashioned Scottish way. I says, what's that? He says, get into them and keep running at them, you know. And that's what we did. We just played to your strengths, you know. Just wired into them and get the high boys in, the big high boys in, you know.
Yeah.
But I didn't really fancy it much. Just, I mean, it wasn't the Thistle and Jerry Collins and that was there.
Yep.
He had a lot of background there, didn't he? He had plenty of staff there, you know.
Yep.
And Thistle had a lot of money, to be honest.
Yep.
Everyone's on a tight ship then, you know.
So, I mean, you went into the pub game in Hamilton, all too. What made you decide to go into that side of things?
No, it was just a friend of mine. He said to me one day, he says, when you retire, Alec, he says, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. He never was really bothering me that, you know, maybe a bit of coaching. He says, well, a friend of mine's got a pub if you want to sort of learn the trade in there and in a few times and learn the trade a bit, and that was me, and I liked it, and that was me. I was 35 years in that pub in Hamilton.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I've joined a few parties in there. It's a great wee pub.
Aye, it's a good wee pub, aye. Especially all Celtic supporters, right enough. But I got on great, and there's some great lads in there. They're not bothered. We're a wee bit bothered here and there, but in serious bother, they'd help you, no problems, you know.
Yeah.
It was no bother at all, really. It was good.
Yeah. In terms of the best player you played with and your toughest opponent, Alec, who would you say they were over your career? I know you've played with numerous players.
I played with loads of good players. Dennis Law. And opponents, Rivellino.
Yeah.
Wee Dennis Stewart at Man City. Jimmy Johnson, obviously.
Yep.
Jimmy Johnson was... he's a nightmare to play against, you know, he'd take the mickey out of you and come back and take the mickey out of you again. You know, he's wasn't why these guys that would get by you and run away for you. He'd come back and take the mickey, he'd put it through your legs again. He'd burrow you, keep burrowing you all day, you know. He's a fantastic boy-to-feet player, you know, one of the players that you think the ball is stuck to his toes, you know, he's a fantastic player.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, he certainly is. And I mean, to ask you about Rangers this season as well, how do you think they'll get on this year?
I still think they're struggling in the centre half. You know, the two central vendors are not getting their act together. They gave away too many chances. Every team they play against, they give them chances.
Yep.
And I don't know what's the matter with the boy, the Helander or whatever's the matter with him.
Helander, yeah, he's not. I think Katish is keeping them out the team at the moment, but he's not getting they've spent a lot of money on him as well, so you'd think you'd get a chance.
If you're paying a lot of money for them, you've got to see, well, if I paid this money for him, how much? You've got to, I mean, the only way the boy's going to improve himself is play him.
Yep.
I mean, especially, maybe you know, you're especially against your likes at the weekend, they're against your Livingstons and all the lesser teams maybe in the league, you know, you could say, well, you need to give him a run of games.
Yeah.
No, just one or two and bring him out. The boy's going to have maybe about a dozen games to get himself in, because he's gave Golson and Katic a load of games, you know, so they should know themselves outside in, and yet they don't. I was at the game at the weekend. They still give people chances to score.
I watched it. They won 3-1, but they had to go behind to get sparked into life, didn't it? It was a bit subdued.
And it's only, don't be wrong, Livingston made it hard for them. They went sort of a 4-5-1, you know.
Yep.
And then they killed after what teams are they now? They're slowing the game down.
Yep.
When you're playing Rangers, they slow everything right down. For the goalkeeper out, they slow it down to their pace, to Steele's pace. And they just, when the break's down, they get everybody back. And Rangers seem to struggle to break them down at times. You know, they've got some good midfield and all that, and they work hard. And up front, they're not too bad, but they always give teams chances to score against them.
Mm-hmm.
And when the boys come into, like say, Ghost and the Gatties, they're all right going and meeting it. It's when players run at them at their pace, you know, they seem to get caught out.
Yeah.
They need to get it sorted out. I don't know what they're going to do. Or they need to give the big centre half. The other one, who's the other one they've got?
Edmondson is a younger boy, but he looked okay the times I've seen him, albeit it was at the start of the season. But it seems that Goldson seems to be Gerrard's golden boy. I think he's undroppable, Goldson. So I don't know how he's going to get these boys in to get a game, really.
I mean, I don't know whether is it going to take maybe some injuries for them boys to get a game. You know,
you always
get a chance. I'm not saying that, but is it going to take?
It looks like it,
injuries for them to say, oh, you need to play now, you know.
It looks like it.
I don't know if they're training every week or they're trying these. If you're buying players, you must see them every week. You must know, well, surely the manager can see that these teams are getting chances against them, you know.
Mm.
And he should see that.
Yeah.
You know, but they need to sort the central defence out.
Yeah.
Definitely. They're all right coming forward, meeting the ball, there's no problem. It's when they actually defend.
Yeah.
The players run at them, they struggle.
Yeah. Certainly what to do in that department, that's for sure.
They definitely have. Their department's a line.
Yep.
They just no got the left back as well. The left back, they're just no got that sorted out properly yet either.
No, it's an interest. Well, Barisic seems to, I mean, on paper he should be the automatic pick, but he doesn't seem to be getting a run of games as well, so I don't know.
I know.
What the deal is there.
He's no bad on the ball. He's got a bit of pace and he's all right on the ball.
Yep.
It's what you want is actual left backs and centre halves that it can defend.
Yep.
I mean, they're all right going attacking the ball. It's when you want somebody to defend. That's where they seem to struggle a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, you look at most teams in the country, even in England, the hardest position to fill now is the central defence.
Yeah.
I mean, they're all want to be good football players, do this and that. I mean, I think that's one Man United bought Maguire.
Yep.
He's a good, big, strong fella in there, and he will be a good, big, he's maybe no worth that money, but to get that sort of player, I mean, look at Van Dijk, Real Madrid and Barcelona,
mm-hmm.
are going to come in with some actually crazy money to take him away, but there's no way Liverpool's going to let him go.
No.
You know?
No, he's priceless for them, isn't he? He's
priceless,
main man.
You know? And as I say, they'll have to come by a good centre-halves.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of these teams are trying to play from the back now as well. You've seen Man City the weekend lost a goal because of that.
Shocking. And teams are just going to try and shut you down.
Yep.
I mean, Rangers try to do it, but obviously the teams in Scotland have not got the players.
No.
They can go and shut them all down, you know. But what they're doing, teams are letting the two big centre-halves have the ball. Just let them, they don't know what to do with it.
Yep.
You know, and a lot of teams in England will do the same. They'll shove everybody forward and put them under pressure. And some of their mistakes are ridiculous.
Yeah, they're comical.
Yeah. Oh, aye.
Anyway, Alex, I think that'll do us there. Thank you very much for joining us on the podcast tonight. I really appreciate it.
Right, Derek, any time I can help you, give me a phone. You got my number now anyway, yeah?
Yeah, I will do. So, Magic, thanks very much for that, Alex.
Right, good to talk to you then.
Top man, enjoyed it.
Bye.
Well, that was episode 9 of the Talking Football podcast with Alex Forsyth. I hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget you can listen to it on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean and SoundCloud if you just type Talking Football into the search function. You can also keep up to date with us on our Twitter page. We're at Talking_Football and we're also on Facebook as well. Thanks for listening. And I'll speak to you all again next week when we hear from an iconic goalkeeper from Scottish football in the 90s. But until then, bye for now.